Today is the conclusion of our series, How Ordinary People Can Become Winners, that we started 6 weeks ago. Today is the sixth week. And of all the things that I've shared with you, we talked about perseverance, we talked about discipline, we talked about diligence, we talked about being tough-minded. But of all the things that I've talked with you to this point, today is by far the most important. Without understanding and putting into practice what we go over today, all of the last 5 weeks will be of no value to you. They will be of no real eternal value. Because it all is summed up in what we discuss today. The ultimate winner. Understanding what it means to be the ultimate winner. I want to have us all pretend for just a moment that we're all in college. All of us are back in school. It's our final exam of our last semester. And we've known about this exam for a number of months. And we've been preparing and we've been studying diligently, as you know college students do. Weeks in advance, months in advance, we've been preparing, we've been reviewing our notes, we've been going over the text material, over the professor's lectures, over all of our casework. And then it comes, that final moment. We go into the class, we sit down at our desk, and the tests are passed out. We have our pencil all ready to go. We have 1 hour to do it. As the tests are being passed out, you're one of the last few to get yours, and you look at the test, and it dawns on you at that very moment, with a sense of great horror, that you studied for the wrong material. You studied for the wrong test. You were gone the day the professor told you exactly what you were going to be tested over, and a friend told you the wrong information. And you studied and studied and worked and worked and worked, only to discover that this test, which decides your final grade, whether you pass or fail, you're not going to pass it. You haven't a clue. You don't even remember this information being given. And then the professor tells you that there will be no retest. You either pass it today or you don't take it again. And you go up to the desk and you're frustrated and you're horrified and you can't believe this is happening. It's so unfair. It's so unjust. He says, I'm sorry. I gave the assignment. There'll be no retest. That's the way it is. You know, that's just a sad, sad scenario. But we realize, most of us in this room, that that very seldom happens in life. Because usually we take the test again, or you sort of bluff your way through it, or maybe you can copy your friend's sheet over here next to you. But I want to share something with you today. It's the most important thing, maybe, that you've ever heard in your life. Especially if you're not aware of what I'm going to say today. It is the most important thing in your life. In life, you may get more chances. You may be able to go back and take the test again. You might be able to go take your driver's exam again. But when it comes to the game of life, once life is over for you, you do not have any more chances. You are either an ultimate winner or you become the ultimate loser. Because the one thing we all have in common here today, no matter what our status in life, no matter what our economic background, our social background, our ethnic background, the Bible tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes judgment. We all share that together. It's a common factor of all of us. Rich or poor, wise or foolish, smart or not, we all will die. And at that precise moment, life ends. Life as we know it ends, and eternity looms before us. And what I've been leading up to this whole series is trying to get through to each and every one of you that winners live with eternity in mind. They do not live for temporal things. They live with eternity in mind. God has a reason, you see, that He put this whole planet into being. He has a reason that He caused you to be born, that He created you, that He gave you life. And that reason, that exclusive reason, was so that you would have an opportunity at some point in your life, whether it was young, whether it's in your mid-teens, in your 20s, in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, on into life, wherever it might be, that you might at some point come to know Him and become the ultimate winner. You know what an ultimate winner is? An ultimate winner is a person who never dies. An ultimate winner is the individual or the individuals who know they will never die. They are going on to immortality. They will live beyond the grave in a place the Bible calls heaven. In a place that Jesus talked about over and over and over again in the Gospels. They know for certain that they have eternal life. If you don't know that today, I want you to listen, please, very carefully to what I share with you today. Because you will discover this morning how you can have eternal life. You will understand what's at stake. Because when our life is over, you may not have ever heard this before. We may not want to believe this, but God will judge us for every thought and intention of our heart. For every action of our life. John writes in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, you can read this yourself, just pick up a Bible, it's the last part of the chapter. The Apostle John says, "And I looked and I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat on that throne, and earth and sky fled from His presence. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and each was judged according to what they had done, written in the books. And whosoever name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death." Jesus referred to hell, as we call it, as the Bible refers to it, a number of times in the Gospels. He didn't mince words about it. In fact, He gave a very vivid description of it. One day He was talking to the multitudes. He said, "There was a certain rich man. He had all that life could offer. He had lived his life for this life. He didn't have a relationship with God. And he was very wealthy. And he thought to himself, so look at all that you have. I think tomorrow I'll tear down what I have and I'm going to build bigger barns and I'm going to make my life more opulent." And that night, the Bible says, God came to him and said, "You fool, tonight your soul will be required of you." And it says he died. Jesus, this is Jesus speaking, said he died and he went to Hades, he went to hell. And it says in hell he lifted up his eyes and he pleaded, "Please go to my brothers and tell them so they will not have to come to this place." And the one who he spoke to said, "There's a great chasm between us. First of all, and I can't leave where I am," because the person he was talking to was in heaven. And then he said, "They have Moses and the prophets. They have God's word. If they won't believe him, they won't believe if someone comes back from the dead." And then he said, "Then please just touch your finger to some water and touch my tongue." He says, "I can't. I can't get to you." The Bible says Lazarus didn't have anything the world offered that the world calls successful. Lazarus was a poor beggar. But he had his faith in God. And the Bible says when he died, he went to heaven. He went to heaven. Jesus was very descriptive about heaven and hell. He talked very much about them. Why? Because, my friends, it's a reality. It's the only true reality. Now imagine for a moment, just for a moment, if you're basing your life on the wrong information. Do you know the most dangerous information around today is religious information? The most dangerous groups in the world today, the devil's most deceptive tool in America and the world is religion. Hinduism, Buddhism, Catholicism, Lutheranism, Methodism, any type of religion that takes a person and tells them you can be good enough on your own to get to God. Many of you in this room, many of you were baptized when you were little and you were told and you were taught that that will assure you to go to heaven. Many of you were told if you take your first communion, you'll be going to heaven. Others of you were told if you were confirmed, you will go to heaven. Others of you have been told that if you just try the very best you can and do the very best that you can possibly do. Listen, God is a compassionate, gracious God. God is loving. And God will give you a second chance. I want to share something with you, my friends. God, once you're dead, once you stand before God, there are no second chances. He gives myriads to us during our life on this planet. Once it's over, it's over. And if you've got the wrong information, it will do you no good. You can sincerely believe the wrong thing and it will cost you your life. It will cost you eternity. Now that's the truth. Let me share with you, I think it's interesting, I was thinking of this the other day, that it's right around Easter that we're ending this series. 2,000 years ago, approximately that long ago, there was a man who lived. A human being, a historical figure that millions of books have been written about. In fact, for the first 100 years after the printing press, the majority of all literature that was written about this man, Jesus Christ. And this man, Jesus Christ, after he'd spent 3 years publicly, he went from place to place, healing people, raising from the dead, people who had died, who were all wrapped in these garments and stuck in tombs, and he'd raise them from the dead. He would make blind people see. He would make lepers well. And all of Israel was a witness to this man. This man ended his life being beaten. He had his beard, the Bible tells us, his beard was ripped from his face. The soldiers grabbed it and ripped it from his face. When you see in those old pictures, the little loincloth, Jesus didn't have anything on. Believe me, they didn't care about this man's dignity. And his back was like raw hamburger. It was cut, it was bleeding, it was like wrapped barbed wire around his head, forced down upon his head. And they spit on him, and they mocked him. And then they paraded him through the streets. There are hundreds of thousands of people lining the streets, some scoffing at him, others mocking him, others weeping at the pain as they watch the one they love so denigrated and humiliated. And then the soldiers led him with this giant log across his shoulders after the torture he had been through. And he couldn't even carry it. And he fell beneath the weight of it. And they grabbed someone, made him carry it for him. They led him up onto this hill. And they threw him down. They didn't say, Jesus, would you please lay down? They threw him down on this log. And they stomped their foot down upon his hand. And they pounded spikes in his hand and spikes in his feet. And then they lifted him up and they dropped him in the hole. And there he stood for the world, naked to see and to scoff at. And they scoffed at him. And the religious leaders of the time, oh, he saved himself. Why can't he save others? If you're God, come down from there. And there he stood. Those words, if you're God, that is what he claimed to be. That is who the Bible says he was. God. And there he hung. And in the midst of all of this cursing and reviling that's going on, Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. What an unbelievable statement. And while he's hanging there, there's two other thieves on either side of him. And they're making fun of him. They're going right along with the crowd. And then after a while, one of them says to the other, you know, wait a minute. We deserve to be here. This man has done nothing deserving of death. And then he looked at Jesus, I'm sure with excruciating pain, and said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus looked back at him. He never lied, never once. And he said these words, today you will be with me in paradise. And then the sky began to darken. And all these people were witnesses of this. And the earth began to shake. And the Roman soldier who was below Jesus looked up in fear and said, surely this man is the Son of God. And then he died. And a few miles away in the great temple of Israel. It was giant curtains, a giant veil, bigger than this curtain, thicker, that was just ripped in half. As God made a way for man into heaven. As God made a way for mankind to come right into the presence of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And at that moment, at that very moment when Jesus was on the cross, everything that you and I have ever thought wrong, everything that you and I have ever done wrong was on Jesus Christ. And it killed Him. And He became the payment for all that we had ever done. You see, you need to understand something about life. The Bible tells us we're sinners. That we've sinned. That we've done wrong. It took Jesus' payment to pay for that. And then after that, 3 days later, Jesus has been wrapped up in these burial clothes. He's been stabbed in the side and He's laying in a tomb. And a giant stone has been rolled down in front of it. Roman soldiers are guarding this tomb with their life. The stone weighed tons. It wasn't a little rock. It was a massive stone. And 3 days later, Mary went to see her Lord, went to see if maybe He'd done what He said. And the stone was rolled away. And it was angels sitting inside. And He was gone. The guards had been struck down. And the Jews decided, we better make up a lie to tell what happened here. So they spread the rumor that the disciples had come and stolen His body. These brave men who were hiding in the upper room. Jesus rose from the dead. He's the only one who's ever conquered death. He conquered it. He conquered it, and you and I can conquer it as well. He conquered it for us because we cannot on our own. You see, what you need to understand about life, what you need to understand about this planet, is that our planet is dying, and we are dying, and there's a reason why. It's not from disease. It's not necessarily from cancers or from AIDS or from anything else. It's from sin. Sin destroys, and it has been destroying us since the dawn of time. Since man sinned against God. The Bible tells us for all have sinned, everybody, we're all in the same boat when it comes to this issue. And fallen short of God's perfection. God is perfect, we are not. And we've all failed in thought, word, or deed. Every one of us. And God will call us into account for that. I want you to ask yourself this question. Think about this for a moment. The other night I was watching television. And Arthur Ashe came on TV. Sad, sad story. But imagine for a moment, if you would have held this press conference, and all the news media was there, and his wife's in the background, and he's kind of clearing his throat. It's kind of an emotional moment. And he says, I have a grave announcement to make. And everyone's wondering what it is. He says, I've been to the doctor. I felt it's time to make this public. I found out today that I'm going to die. I don't know exactly when. The doctors don't know exactly how long I have to live. I could live another year. I could live 4 more. I could live 10 more. Maybe I might live 20 more or 30. But I'm going to die. And everyone's aghast. And then he says these words. I found out today that I have S-I-N. I found out today, unbeknownst to me all these years, that I'm a sinner. And because of it, I'm going to die. You don't die from disease. The only reason there's disease today is because of sin on this planet. And one day in heaven, in the new heaven and the new earth that God is going to make, there will be no sin. There will be no imperfection. There will be no tears. There will be no sorrow. There will be no grief. There will only be joy, happiness, and peace all of your life. And you won't be sitting on a cloud playing a little harp either. That's another great lie. That's another great piece of propaganda. You will be discovering the new worlds and the new universes God made for you. Personally, His bride. Jesus called those who come to know Him, who believe in Him, His bride. He loves you. He cares about you. His intense desire, the Bible says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God desires every single man, woman, and child to come to Christ. That's His desire. That's why He sent Christ. That's why Christ died. That's why He was tortured to death. For you. For you. You may say to yourself, you know, Mark, I don't know if I believe that. I think I'm a pretty good person, basically. And besides, I don't believe what you say about religion. I've tried to live a fairly religious life. I've tried to live a fairly Christian life. Let me share something with you. You can take a monkey, and you can make that monkey as human as possible. You can teach them to eat. You can even teach them sign language, I am told. They can act like a human. They can sort of cry like a baby. They can do nice little somersaults on the stage. But when you take the litmus test to find out whether or not they're really a human, guess what you discover? You find out you've got a monkey acting like a human. Same thing is true. If you're trusting in anything else here today except Jesus Christ, if you've never invited Him into your life personally, all you are is an individual who's trying to imitate God, who's trying to copy religion and Christianity. You can't do it. And when God takes the litmus test, He'll find out you're a fake. Because you won't be able to hide it from God. You can hide it from people. You can hide it from your parents. You can hide it from friends. You can hide it from your spouse. But you cannot hide it from God. And God, you see, is true to His character. He's true to His word. So when He says, when you die, it's over, it's over. You won't be able to change His heart. You won't be able to change His mind. You can beg, you can plead, it's over. He'll just remind you of this morning in April 1992 that you had the opportunity. You heard the message so plain, so clear. Do you remember I spoke to you? I touched you? I shared with you? I loved you? I died for you. Why didn't you believe it? Why didn't you believe that? Christ is trying to get through. You see, the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would never die, but have everlasting life. People say, you know, so often today, we're just concerned about bettering our lives now. And I understand that. But God is interested in bettering your life forever. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. He's interested in saving you for eternity. Why in the world do we even celebrate Easter? Have you ever asked yourself that? Why do we celebrate Easter? Churches are packed on Easter. It's probably the most attended, well-attended time of the year. Means nothing to most Americans. It's just a religious festival. Don't you understand that we're celebrating the Savior of the world because we are desperately in need of deliverance? Our lives hang in a balance, my friends. They hang in a balance, a very delicate balance between life and death. And just in a brief moment, even if you live to 90, your life, the Bible says, is like a puff of smoke. And then it's over. And then it's over. God's intention was for your life to never be over. He doesn't want it to be over. One way or the other, you're going to live forever. The Bible makes that very clear. I've had people tell me, oh, Mark, listen. I don't really care if there's heaven and hell. I'll go to hell. Fine. I'll be there with all my friends. We'll have a good time. No, you won't. Don't have a good time. You know why? Because all you'll hear is the screams of your friends. You won't see anyone there. Jesus said it's a place of outer darkness where the fire is never quenched and the worm never dies and there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's exactly Jesus' words. And He told it to the masses. Because it's the truth. Because God loves you enough to tell you the truth. I want you to know something this morning, and I mean this honestly. If you're new here, you might not understand this, but if you've been coming for a while, you know this. I say this morning not to scare you, but because I care about you and love you. God loves you. The truth was meant to bring you to Christ, to the God who loves you, to help you understand what's at stake. God loves you enough to say it. How would you like to go into the doctor and You know, he finds out you've got cancer. Chemotherapy might get rid of it, but he's afraid to tell you. He doesn't care enough to tell you. What kind of a doctor would that be? Same is true with God. God cares about you intently. He loves you. He loves you. He bought your life with His blood. This isn't a game to God. This is not some just like fairy tale. This is the reality. This is reality. You can become the ultimate winner. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can experience the ultimate victory in your life, the ultimate win today, this morning. Christ wants in your life. There are many of you who have been coming here for some time. You've been investigating Christianity. This is the crux of Christianity. This is what Christianity is all about. It's not about good works. I want to share something with you this morning. There is nothing you can do today to be good enough for God to accept you. You may not like that. That may aggravate you. It may make you mad as a hornet. But it's the truth. And God will tell that to you Himself. Not by works of righteousness, the Bible says, that we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us. Jesus gave a little story of two men. And they both went to pray. One of them was the religious priest of his time, the religious leader of his time, the religious person. And he walked before the altar of God and said, Oh God, I thank you that I pray three times a day and I fast and I give regularly to God. I'm doing my very best, God. Thank you that I'm not like that individual over there, that murderer, that scumbag. And this man over here went before the altar, fell on his knees, beat his breast, the Bible says, and said, Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, Which one of these went away justified before God? Justified means which one went away declared righteous by God, perfect by God, just as if they'd never done anything wrong. And Jesus said, I say to you, the one who asked for God's mercy. That's what it's all about. There is nothing, I want to assure you of this morning, there's nothing any one of you have ever thought or done in your life or said that God cannot forgive. Nothing. I've had so many people come up to me and say, Mark, I just feel like my life's been so bad that God can't forgive me. He can forgive you. He will forgive you. That's His great desire. And you know what He'll do it for? For nothing. You don't have to do anything to get it. You don't have to do penance. You don't have to go back home and burn your television set. You don't have to go and change your life. That's the lie of the devil. All you need to do today is say, Lord Jesus, I put my faith in You. If You love me, if You die for me, if You're willing to forgive my sin, I realize today I need it. I want You to forgive me. And do you know that You will at that very instant be declared perfect? You will be, as the Bible says, born again, and you'll become a real Christian. You know what the word Christian means literally? Christ one, Christ living in you. God comes and He lives inside of you. And He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. No matter what you ever do in your life, God forgives immediately. It's forgiven. It's taken care of. In fact, God couldn't even come and live in you if He didn't totally make you a perfect person. At that very instant, He cleans you up from the inside out. And He makes you a brand new creation. And you will never die. They may destroy this earthly body. That's not death, my friends. We have no idea what real death is. Real death is total and eternal separation from God forever, and you're very aware of it. That's the death the Bible's talking about, and you'll never see that. You may be a person here today who says, Mark, I've never done anything so bad. You need to understand today that just one little thought, one little lie, one little lustful thought cost Jesus His life. If you would have been the only person alive on the planet and all the rest of the race would have died off, God would have sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, because that's what it would have taken to let you off the hook, to forgive you. You cannot earn God's favor. Men and women, you cannot get in good with God except through Jesus Christ. Jesus said these words to the multitudes, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." The apostles said in Acts, "There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved." It's that name of Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting? You can talk to people about God, and that'll go over fine till you start to talk about Jesus Christ. The devil despises Jesus. He's going to do everything he can to keep you this morning from coming to Christ and make you think this isn't reality. I don't know what you think today. I don't know what lie you've bought into today, but I want to tell you, you have the opportunity of a lifetime today to invite Christ into your life. As I close today, I'd like you to bow your heads, and if you know that you need Christ today, if you understand this today, even if you don't understand all of it, you realize you've sinned, you've done wrong, you will be held responsible. Whether you want to believe that or not, I encourage you, don't put this decision off. As I close in prayer, while I'm praying, you can pray at the same time to yourself, to God. He hears you. And you tell Him, "Lord Jesus, you come into my life and forgive me today. I want to invite you into my life to be my Savior, my Lord, and the day I put my trust in you. Yes, Lord, I might have been raised religiously. And I might have been confirmed. I might have been baptized. I might have been going to church for years. But I realize today, none of that is any good to you. I've been basing my life on the wrong information. I don't want to fail the test. I realize today it's your Son, Jesus Christ, that I need in my life. And I'm going to put my faith in Him." And the Bible says, you will have eternal life. You will be forgiven by God forever. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, I just thank you so much for the reality of Christ. I thank you, Lord, this morning. I know you've spoken to people's lives here today. And I just pray, oh God, that you touch each and every heart. I pray, Lord, that each person here today would respond to Jesus Christ. That each person, Lord, today would realize they don't need to feel guilty any longer. They can be totally forgiven, totally cleansed, and have peace with God for the rest of forever. Lord, someday you said you would come back. You said you'd come the first time. You'll keep your word the second time. I pray, oh God, that each person here would know that they'll go with you if they've accepted Christ. Lord, give them the courage to make that decision. I know the devil wants them not to make that decision. We each like to make excuses, but oh God, today is the day. This is the time that you are speaking to each heart. Work in each heart, Lord. As Jay sings to us here today, Lord, minister through the words of this song. Help us to understand that you're everything that we ever needed. In Jesus' name, amen.